Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, how about this? All right, what are they going to do in the NBA? Because they got a juicy season going, and it's all right now in limbo. Let's bring on the great Derek Bodner.
Yes.
There's nobody doing it better. Rhea, identify Derek for
us,
please.
Athletic.
From theathletic.com, the great Derek Bodner. Hi, Derek.
You could have gone with good, Angelo. I think that would have been too much anyway.
All right, Derek. Well, here's the thing I need to know. I know I'm asking something that's almost impossible to answer. Read the situation for me right now. Will there be a resumption of the NBA season at some point?
Yeah, I think it's really in doubt. You know, I think you look over in China for, you know, sort of like a look ahead, and they just pushed back their Chinese Basketball Association to May, to mid-May, which would be a four-month layoff for them. A similar layoff here puts us at a start in mid-July, which would push the finals through late August, early September, which is where there's an indication that they don't want to go. So unless they, you know, maybe they find a way to just cancel the rest of the regular season, maybe they make the first round games of three instead of seven. I don't, like, there might be some ways they can get there, but I think it's in real jeopardy right now.
We had Billy King on yesterday, and Billy was adamant that they will find a way to rescue the season, even if it's only the playoffs. What I'm wondering is, do they think there's going to be enough interest when games are in the dead of summer, moving into August, if not September? It's never been done before, Derek. Any way to know if that would captivate America?
No, I mean, none of this has ever been done before. And at that point, you'll have, you know, three sports essentially restarting back up. There'll be a lot of competition. You know, I think if they can find a way to get the playoffs back in, I think they will. I think one thing we've learned here of recent history is that these owners like money, and they will try to find a way to recoup some of that money.
Follow the money.
Try to find a way. Yeah, follow the money. I think they'll try to find a way. It's just how long this thing lingers, how long we're not even at a point where they can reopen the practice facilities yet. Like, we're still very far away. Yep. And I don't think anybody really knows how it's going to turn out.
The other part of it that Billy is convinced of, Derek, is that when they resume, they will do so without fans in the stands. Can you envision that?
Yeah, that sounds really likely. Like, they've even talked about using G League facilities. They've talked about using their training facility. And watching a playoff game played in Camden, a training facility, it doesn't even seem like a sport. It doesn't even seem like what we're talking about. Yeah, I think that's a very likely scenario. I think they're going to be really cautious about having 20,000 fans stand shoulder to shoulder for multiple hours at a time while this pandemic is still not fully under control. Yeah, I think if there is a restart here, I think it will be without fans. I think right now they're really hoping to get some of that TV money back and also the competitive aspects of not finishing out the season.
That's going to be so weird to watch. All right, let me move on to Joshua Harris. He had a really rough week, Derek, when he tried to cut the salary of people under $50,000 and over and had to recant the next day. What was your reaction to it? What do you think it says about the owner of the Sixers?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most interesting aspect to it is that it came, you know, within like an hour and a half of Joel Embiid pledging that he was going to, you know, to cover those people who were losing salary. Which, I mean, first of all, it shows that if Joel Embiid, an employee of the Sixers, can cover what Josh Harris is unwilling to spend, it's a really bad look. But we very often said that Joel Embiid, outside of ownership, is the most powerful person in that organization, more powerful than the coach, than the GM, than anybody. And for a day there, he was more powerful than the owners themselves. And it really showed you where people's priorities are. That we're only 2 weeks into this pandemic, 2 weeks since they stopped canceling games, and they're already trying to find ways to cut corners. It's not entirely surprising, given the background of Joshua Harris and the Sixers owner, that the Sixers were the first team to try this. It is exceptionally disappointing. And hopefully, at the very least, their poor way of going about this will be a cautionary tale for the rest of the league, because they got a lot of blowback from that in public relations, and I think they should have. You know, I think this is a time where normal business practices shouldn't apply. This is an industry where there's so much scrutiny that he can't run this like he does his other assets in Apollo, and then hopefully he learned his lesson, because that was really bad.
Is it an example of the fact that the Sixers may be out of touch with their own fan base?
I mean, you mean a guy in a $50 million mansion in Manhattan is a little out of touch with his fan base? Yeah, I think
wow.
No, but a lot of guys, you know, you have people that can tell you what the fans are thinking. I don't sense that Scott O'Neill or anybody else has given him a really good read on their own fans.
No, I don't. I mean, I think that was pretty clear with the way that they walked back. If they could not have expected this pushback in PR, then they are missing some key aspects of their management team. I agree with you there.
Hey, Derek, this is where it gets weirder, because Embiid has stepped up, and I think Embiid doing what he did may have shamed Harris into backing off. But I'm not sure if Embiid's got the virus himself right now. Two Sixers I know do. I just don't know who they are. You have any read at all on who's got it and what's going on with that?
I mean, I hear conjecture that I'm not really going to spread, because I don't know the validity to it. I right. do not know whether or not Embiid has it for sure. You know, I do think this is, you know, we've seen that if he does this responsibly, or anyone with the team who would have it, if they do it responsibly, they should be okay. Hopefully they don't spread it. Hopefully they stay quarantined and keep themselves healthy and eat well and rest well. But no, I do not have any real information on that.
All right, here's the thing. Christian Wood, the guy that from the mm-hmm. Pistons, doctors cleared him yesterday. He has now overcome the coronavirus. Isn't that interesting? Because we still don't know. He left behind a trail. Derek, were you there that night against the Pistons?
Yeah. Yep.
Were you at all concerned yourself that you were exposed?
Yeah, I mean, sure, I was concerned. And, you know, I'm more concerned for people I know, people who I might transmit to and who might then have people at risk that they know. You know, I have a grandmother who's 84 and just had heart surgery, and I haven't been able to see her in weeks because I don't want to risk it. So it was more like I took precautionary measures to make sure that I was being responsible. I self-quarantined. I am not a millionaire, so I did not get the tests as quickly or at all. I have not gotten a test. But I've been asymptomatic, and I'm just trying to be responsible and not being around people and spread this thing.
All right. The last thing I want to ask you about, now it's become kind of personal for me because of my wife's feelings toward the coach,
oh, Jesus.
Brett Brown.
You are not.
But here's the thing. Let's just say they can't resume this season, Derek. What's Brown's status? What do you think happens to Brett Brown?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I think – for the most part, everybody would agree that this was a more disappointing season than people would have wanted. That usually results in two things. Either the front office who put the team together is let go, or the coach who the front office either blames or wants to blame is let go. And I think if the front office is let go, then you're going to bring in a GM who wants to bring in his own coach. And if the front office is not let go, then they have to explain why this roster they put together did not perform as well as they did. I think this was, if I had to assign blame, I think it's probably 65% roster construction. I do think this team is poorly built to make use of not only a game in 2020, but also their two best players. But I think Brett Brown has stepped into a good enough job with the pieces that they had. So I think there's blame to go around. I do think this is largely roster construction. But I mean, look, Brett's had 7 years here. If they want to make a change and see if that will jostle things and get Simmons and Embiid where they need to go, then, you know, I think there's been more unjust firing. But I do think my main thing, and I think there's a good chance the season's canceled, that the coaching staff isn't brought back. My main thing is I wouldn't look at that as magically going to fix this roster, which I do think is flawed.
Interesting stuff. Derek, be safe, my friend. We'll talk again soon. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Derek Bodner with
some
interesting
insights.
I enjoy
a snarky Derek Bodner.
No, he is. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there out here. He clearly has developed a dislike for the owner. And what it comes down to with the owner is the owner doesn't have any clue about his own fans. He really doesn't.
No, and it doesn't. But you learn over and over again, once they come back.
Right, explain something to me, though. Because a guy who resonated with the fans the entire time he owned the team was Ed Snyder.
Yeah.
Even though I ripped him plenty, right? But he always knew what the fans were like and always was right there with them. He was on board. When a bad call was made, before the fans could even howl, he was doing it. Remember the story with Josie where he said, I want you to get fined, go rip the ref?
It was his team.
No, well, all right, and it's not Harris's team. Well,
no.
Why not?
He said it's an investment. It's not his team. Did you see yesterday, not to jump all over that ownership, but they owned the Apollo Management Group.
That's their group,
so they had a
right.
call yesterday in which they said that this time during the coronavirus pandemic is a time to shine and buy distressed companies.
No.
Yes.
That's Joshua Harris's company.
Not him. That's his company, yeah.
No, that's him. He's the owner.
Well, you know, people say things that are underneath you, but I mean, this is their...
No, I got to make sure I understand this.
What?
You're saying to me that in this crisis...
In the call, co-heads of the private equity investing, Matt Dorr, Nord, and Dave Samber, said they're tracking more than 250 potential opportunities to acquire distressed assets, pursuing chances to enhance future returns by snacking up its own portfolio. The two see the market volatility caused by the coronavirus pandemic as a time to shine.
An opportunity to profit.
Well, this is
what
they do.
While people are dying. This is our owner.
Well, that's what
I said it before.
Look what's going on. People, you know, everybody's jumping on. He's an owner of a sports team.
No.
Harvard.
Al,
Harvard won't pay its cafeteria people.
If you're thinking that way, there's a special place in hell for you.
Harvard was touting their $40 billion endowments, and they cut their cafeteria people.
Yeah.
Right. Rhea, there are a lot of people here. I said this all week. In times of crisis, you find out who's got a soul and who doesn't. If there is somebody out there actually looking at this, seeing every day how many people are dying and saying, how can I make money on this? They have no soul. I'm sorry, they don't. They don't.
Go on Amazon and look at the price of the hand sanitizer.
It's a disgrace. I'm just saying that right out. If you're profiting from this, shame on you. Shame on you. And I hope karma bites you right in the ass. How's that? Joe's on the line. Hi, Joe. Hey, Joe. It's opening day today.
I know. And that's why I want to talk about baseball, because of all the different sports, I think baseball is the best one for what we're going through right now, because we can look forward to basically a new beginning when we finally do get to watch the games. So I'm really looking forward to it.
A new beginning in that we'll have a big chunk of our season. Is that what you say, Joe, by the time we get back? New beginning in what way?
In terms of baseball, it's always like, spring.
It'll be like when the 9/11, the Yankees played afterwards.
Correct.
Like,
it will feel renewed that it's back. Things must be normal again.
Right.
That's what you're saying, right, Joe?
Yes, sir.
It is, but when? I mean, my God.
I don't know.
It looks months away. It doesn't look weeks away. Looks months away.
Yeah.
And just think, Joe, let's just say today this virus didn't happen. Hmm. You would have opening day at 4 o'clock. You'd have a Flyers game at 7:30. You'd have a Sixers game at 8 o'clock. And you'd have four Sweet 16 NCAA games. Hmm. All on this one day.
Jeez.
Does that not hurt?
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's not fair. But we're alive, so how can you complain?
Correct.
All right. Give me somebody you want to hang with today, Joey.
All right. I want you guys to have an open mind on this.
Totally.
Because I need a good laugh.
Yep.
So I'm going with Gabe Kapler.
Gabe Kapler is on our list.
There you go.
No way, really?
I would love it. In fact, Joe, do we have a PSA from Gabe? I think we might have a PSA from him. Yes, Gabe Kapler for sure. Al, Gabe Kapler, I'll say this. Learning just talking baseball today with people, a lot of people think the Phillies will be more interesting now that he's gone. Because he was so methodical.
The games themselves will be better.
That the games will be better, and that is why we turn to our former manager for this public service announcement.
Hi, it's Gabe Kapler. Hang in there, guys. I know a lot of places are still short on toilet paper, but I got to tell you, that corn cob technique turned out not to be a bad idea at all. I tried it last night after dinner. A warm corn cob on the sphincter is very exhilarating. So stay open-minded, be bold. It's a new experience, and it may put a smile on your face during these trying times.
It's a beautiful message. It's just a beautiful message.
Huckabee said that.
Let me get Kenny up here real quick, because he hung out with Harry and Whitey.
Ah.
Hi, Kenny.
You know, you're talking about this, and I had a magical day, and it was so random. It's 1989. I'm in graduate school in North Carolina. My girlfriend and I decided to take spring break in Florida. Just by chance, we walk up to Jack Russell. I buy two tickets. Could have been anywhere. Get in my seat. Not 2 feet behind my head is Harry and Whitey calling the game.
Wow.
And you know me, I'm not shy. By the third inning, between innings, I'm talking to him. And it was, I had a magical day where I got to hear Harry and Whitey in my ear live call a game and then talk to him between innings. Wow. I'll never top that as far as that's concerned.
You sure aren't. Kenny, just tell me something. What is opening day like for you normally?
This is a holiday, man. I never, ever, ever cut school when I was in high school except an opening day. And every single time I cut to make sure I was down there for it. Wow. This was a day when we had friends that would tailgate. Guys I went to grade school with get together every year, go see them. It was a holiday. And we don't have it now. So just going to have to grin and bear it, and we'll all get through this together as a society, right?
I guess. Are you totally self-quarantined, Kenny? What are you doing right now?
Yeah, I haven't, except to go outside and breathe some fresh air. Yeah, I haven't left the house in 10 days.
Wow.
I'm one of those vulnerable ones, apparently.
Kenny, at 4 o'clock today, a baseball guy's coming over to hang with you. Who is it?
Reggie
Jackson?
I would love, first off, that game in 77 with the three home runs and three pitches. Just to talk to him about that. He's a local guy. Went to Cheltenham High School.
And my favorite moment ever, Kenny, was when Angelo chased him down the hallway at the Borgata when he missed him because he went to the bathroom.
And it was a virtual snub by Reggie Jackson. But, Kenny, I love it. Reggie Jackson's on the line. We got a lot of good ones so far, but I'm just asking you, you can have any baseball figure, past or present, here with you at 4 o'clock today when the Phillies would have started the season. There's the doorbell now. Who's behind the door? That gets you some great prizes today. Jump on board. When we return, I want to update this mayor story with a guy who does a great job talking about this stuff, Dom Giordano from WPHT. And we also have our song coming up. If you've not heard the Casey Coughlin song, this here will get you understanding how you should behave during a pandemic. That's all coming up in the next few minutes. WIP Sports Hub 817.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.